Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
The topic I want to talk about today is an important topic, and I think it goes with our visitor Sunday. Isn't it wonderful to have friends? Would you say amen to that? It's wonderful to have friends. How many of you here today would say that you have a best friend? Good. It's good to have a best friend. How many of you here today would say there's been a time in your life when you wondered if you had any friends? Maybe you had one of those no friend days in your life. I have read that at times coaches of sports teams, especially those in the limelight, can experience periods when it seems they have no friends, especially after a difficult loss or even a losing season. I read something written by Pepper Rogers, who used to be the head football coach at UCLA. Now, this was way back in the 1970s. But his team had suffered through a very poor season. They had a losing record, and he came under pretty intense criticism and pressure from both alumni and fans. And things got so bad, he felt like all his friends were gone. One morning, as he puts it, he was feeling sorry for himself, and he tried to get some sympathy from his wife. So he said, "Honey, things are getting so bad, I feel like my dog is my only true friend." Now, you've heard that adage before, right? A dog is man's best friend. Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's your only friend, you're in trouble. So Rogers went on to say to his wife, "I believe every man needs at least two good friends." She said, "I'll take care of that for you, honey." She went out and bought him another dog. The fact is, there are people today who are lonely. I heard about one man who was very lonely and saw an advertisement in a magazine about an organization called the Lonely Hearts Club. So he wrote in and asked for information about how he could join this club. They sent him an application form. They asked for a photo. He filled out his form. He sent the picture in with it, and about a week later, he got a letter back. And the letter said, "Thank you for your application, but we are not that lonely yet." Ooh, that was hard. People are trying everything to get rid of loneliness during those times in our lives when we may feel like we are alone. It certainly is nice to know that we have friends. While I was preparing for this message, I came across a number of good definitions that would describe a great friendship. Here are just a few of them. Friends are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are until you lose them. And that's true. Friends are God's way of taking care of us. A young boy gave this definition. A friend is a person who knows us and still loves us. Yes. Way back in 1991, a British publication offered a prize for the definition of a friend. They received thousands of answers. Let me share with you some of them that I really liked. A friend is one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is invaluable. True. A friend is one who understands our silence. A friend is like a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. The winning definition was this: a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. One other good definition of friendship comes from that famous philosopher that we know as Winnie the Pooh, who said, "If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus one day so I never have to live without you." Pretty special. So there are many good definitions of what it means to be a friend, but the greatest example of what it means to be a friend is found in Jesus. So I titled today's message after that hymn that's been sung for so many years, and I'm sure many of you, if not most of you here today, have heard it, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Our main text comes from Jesus' teaching. in John chapter 15 as he was preparing his apostles for his return to heaven. And he speaks about what true friendship really is. But before we look at that passage and some others as well, let's ask God for his help, his wisdom, his understanding as we go to him in prayer. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you allow us these opportunities to be together as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can freely sing praises to your name, which we have done today. Come around your table, which we have done today. And open your word, which we are doing right now. Lord, may your wisdom and understanding be with us as we share some truths about what it means to be a friend. And we thank you for the example that was set by your Son and our Savior Jesus, who wants to be our friend. Thank you for that truth. Use me today, Father, in a way that will be helpful and encouraging to those who are here, those who are watching online. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to be a good friend to others as you have been a friend to us. Bless your word and our time is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Since it is true that Jesus is the greatest example of what it means to be a friend, I want to share four qualities of friendship that Jesus displayed that are characteristic of a true friend. The first one is this: a friend will love you at all times. In John chapter 15, this is what Jesus was teaching us beginning in verse 12 when he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends." And of course, we know that's what Jesus did. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you at all times, and not just when we're good? Friendship begins with love, just as Jesus commanded here in verse 12. But it is a choice that is unconditional. Our love for others should not be based on what a person looks like, should not be based on whether or not they're popular or if they're well-to-do. We must choose to love people. Now, why is this important? Well, let me illustrate it in this way. Several years ago, Collier's Magazine published a story about a little girl being shunned by her other children in this orphanage that she was in. Now, this girl was quite unattractive. She had many annoying habits. And even she was disliked by some of the staff, which is amazing to me. The director of the orphanage looked for a good excuse to try to ship her off someplace else. For some time, it had been suspected that she was writing notes and leaving them for people outside the orphanage. And then one afternoon, their suspicions were confirmed. One of the children came and reported, "I saw her. I saw what she did. She wrote a note. She hid it on a tree near the stone wall," which was outside of the orphanage. The director hurried to the tree, found the note, and then with his head down, passed it silently to his assistant. And the note read this: "To whoever finds this, I love you." You see, everyone has a need to be loved. And a true friend loves no matter what happens to you. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Someone once said, "Prosperity brings friends, adversity proves them." A friend doesn't run and hide when tough times come, but will keep loving you and help you through your adversity. So yes, friendship begins with a choice to love. Therefore, it's true that a friend loves you in spite of your faults and failures. His friend is there when you need support. Job needed support, and he wasn't really getting it from his so-called friends. He says in Job 6, verse 14, "From the despairing man there should be kindness from his friend, so that he does not abandon the fear of the Almighty." Now, each one of us has faults and failures in our lives, and one way we can know for sure if we have a true friend is seeing what they will do when we mess up or we fail in some way. A true friend will be there to assist you, bring encouragement to you. And think about this, Jesus decided to come to earth for the express purpose of dying for sinners, for people who have faults and failures. Not only will a friend love us in spite of our faults and failures, a friend is willing to listen to us and able to act for us. Like Job, a true friend will pray for you, and not only can you be helped, when a friend prays for you, but when you pray for a friend, you will be blessed. We read about that in Job 42, verse 10. The Bible says, the Lord also restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased double all that Job had. Jesus is the model of a friend who acted and continues to act on our behalf. One of the most powerful passages in the book of Romans, chapter 5, Paul writes to us about the friendship of Jesus and what he did. He says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." A friend will love you at all times. Second point, a friend will always tell you the truth, but do it in love. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Sometimes it hurts when a friend tells us what we need to hear instead of what we want to hear. We've all been there. Yet the end result is described in Proverbs 27, verse 9. "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and a person's advice is sweet to his friend." Here's what we must remember when a good friend tells us the truth, even when that truth is hard to take. A friend always has your best interests in mind. Galatians 6, verse 1. Paul is instructing us on how we deal with the sin of a brother or sister in Christ. Here's what he writes. "Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well." Let me share with you about this truth that Paul is proclaiming to us, and I know what I'm about to say is going to be hard. But when you know someone who is involved in some kind of sin and you know it's hurting them in some way, we have a responsibility as a friend to talk to them about whatever it may be they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. And here's why this is important. If you don't remember anything else today, remember this. Truth sets the foundation for trust. I want you to remember this. We'll say it again. Truth sets the foundation for trust, which enables us to have a lasting relationship. Paul states in Ephesians 4, verse 15, that one way which we grow up to become more like Jesus is when we practice speaking the truth in love. Here's what he said. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ." People I trust the most in my life are the ones that I know will be completely honest with me and will not hold back in telling me what I need to hear. Jesus' example of a friend who would speak the truth is worth noting here. Jesus seemed to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. When he would speak with the scribes and Pharisees, the actual religious leaders of the day, who were trying to trip him up, who did not like what he had to teach and preach, he called them fools and hypocrites. Now, before you resort to that kind of language with a friend, make sure it's warranted and the circumstances right. Jesus spoke very frankly with Peter, telling him that Peter would deny Jesus on the night he was betrayed. A final example is when the rich young ruler came to Jesus to ask him what good thing he should do to obtain eternal life. And Jesus challenged him in the area that he needed to change the most in his life when he told him to sell his possessions and give them to the poor. Speaking the truth in love, especially those hard truths that can hurt, will build a foundation of trust and a lasting relationship. Third quality displayed by Jesus, characteristic of a true friend, is that a friend will always encourage you to be a better person. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And all that means is you're encouraging one another to get better, to do what you need to do, to know what you know to do. Have you ever faced a time in your life when you were striving to do something and you became so frustrated that you wanted to quit? Then a friend talked you into sticking it out, encouraging you to hang in there because you'll be a better person if you just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Maybe you were going to school and the classes were becoming harder and you wanted to quit. Maybe you took a job that you thought was your dream job, but it was turning out to be a nightmare. Maybe in your walk with the Lord, you were disappointed at a decision or decisions that other Christians made and you were ready to give up. But a friend encouraged you, hang in there, because they wanted you to become a better person. A friend wants you to keep growing. A friend wants to see you reach your full potential. That's what Jesus was talking about in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 48, he was speaking about loving our enemies. And he concluded, therefore you shall be perfect. That word means complete, as your heavenly Father is perfect or complete. Jesus wants us to reach our full potential by becoming like our Father in the way that we act. Any true friend will want to help us reach our full potential and will not only encourage us to do so, but a friend rejoices at your success. You know, we're getting close to graduation time, aren't we? For many high school, college, and graduate school students, the day is drawing near for them to receive a diploma. And that diploma says that they have done what is required. They have passed the classes that needed to be passed for them to graduate. How proper and fitting it is, as Paul said in Romans 12, verse 15, to rejoice with those who rejoice. When you see a friend of yours gain success, especially when that success comes at a price, we should be right there rejoicing with them. The Bible even teaches us that when a sinner repents and turns to the Lord in faith and obedience, the angels in heaven rejoice that another soul has been added to God's kingdom. I've often wondered if when we enter into what's been described as those pearly gates of heaven, if we'll be greeted by that same admonition that Jesus gave to those slaves in the parable of the talents. He said to those who put their talents to good use, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? We can be extremely thankful for friends who encourage us to be better, who want us to reach our full potential and rejoice with us as God's blessings come our way. Final quality of friendship we're going to discuss is the fact that a friend will always remain faithful. This truth has been implied, and the other three main characteristics of a friend that we've discussed today are: the writer of Proverbs 18 captures the essence of this in verse 24 when he writes this: a person of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Some of you here today may have a deep appreciation for that special friend whom you've known for years, and that friend is still very faithful to you. Others may be asking, and I think this is a very legitimate question. How do I know if a friend is truly faithful? Well, let me give you two answers to that. First of all, a friend always keeps his or her promises. That's one way to know if you have a true friend. You can count on him or her to do exactly what they say they will do because their word is their bond. One of the challenges that Jesus gave to his apostles in John 16 had to do with his faithfulness to them. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive so that your joy may be made full." What a promise is being made here by the best friend that any of us can have, and that is Jesus. A friend always keeps his promises. Here's a second way to know if your friend is faithful. A friend is totally devoted to you. Now, having said that, I need to qualify that statement in this way. Even our Christian friends may occasionally disappoint us. Sometimes it may be the preacher. Sometimes the deacons, the elders, the most upstanding member of the congregation. They may all fail us sooner or later, even though we know they are devoted to us. But here is what I want you to realize. Here's what I want you to take home with you today. Here is what I want you never to forget. Our friend Jesus Christ is totally devoted to you, and he will not fail you ever. That's what I want you to remember. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, quoting Jesus, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you." Paul wrote in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can you say amen to that? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And that leads to the last point of this message, the most important one of all. Jesus wants to be your friend. He does. In John 15, beginning verse 14, Jesus is speaking to his chosen, and he says this, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends because all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." The word Jesus uses here for friends in this verse does not mean a casual acquaintance, does not mean a person that we may meet with only when we have the occasion to meet up. Jesus uses a word here that sometimes refers to those we have our closest relationship with. The same word was often used to describe a best man at a wedding, to describe a king's inner circle of intimate, trusted friends. In fact, in that day, in a royal court, servants were required to keep their distance from the king. It was only those inner few, those circle of trusted friends who would enjoy close contact, direct access, and would be able to receive confident information. It is this type of friendship that Jesus desires to have with each one of us. And we are told that Jesus has made known to us all that we need to know to be his friend and for him to be our Savior. Are you Jesus' friend? You see, you can be as close to him as you choose to be. First step that we make to be friends with Jesus is to be obedient to him. That's what Jesus said. Since Jesus, as our friend, wants what is best for us, then being obedient to his wishes will always turn out for our benefit and to his glory. An intimate, close friendship with Jesus is a choice. It's not an accident. Once we recognize all that Jesus has done for us, the more obedient we become and the deeper our friendship becomes. It is a relationship. that will last forever. I want to conclude today with a letter that I read some time ago. I didn't write it, but I thought it was good and certainly an appropriate way to end this message as we've been talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. It's called A Letter from a Friend. I just had to write to tell you how much I love you and care for you. Yesterday I saw you walking and laughing with your friends. I hope that soon you'd want me to walk along with you too. So I painted you a sunset to close your day and whispered a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited, but you never called. I just kept on loving you. As I watched you fall asleep last night, I wanted so much to touch you. I spilled moonlight onto your face, trickling down your cheeks as so many tears have. You didn't even think of me. I wanted so much to comfort you. The next day, I exploded a brilliant sunrise into a glorious morning for you. But you woke up late and rushed off to work. You didn't even notice. My sky became cloudy and my tears were the rain. I love you. Oh, if you would only listen. I really love you. I try to say it in the quiet of the green meadow and in the blue sky. The wind whispers my love throughout the treetops and spills it into the vibrant colors of the flowers. I shout it to you in the thunder of the great waterfalls and compose love songs for birds to sing to you. My love for you is deeper than the ocean and greater than any need in your heart. If you'd only realize how much I care. I died just for you. My Father sends his love. I want you to meet him. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please call me soon. No matter how long it takes, I'll wait. Because I love you. Your friend, Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.